Welcome one and welcome all and welcome to one of the fastest growing parapolitical podcasts out in podcast land. Yes, you are now listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week. I'm so happy to be with you this week because this week we're going to have a potpourri type show. We've got a cauldron full of subjects I have right in front of me and I'm going to stir the pot. Just going to keep stirring the pot, and I've got a really big ladle, and I'm just going to put that ladle in and pull out a subject, and we're going to talk about it. I have no set topics for this show. Whatever, I've got literally 10 to 15 subjects I could talk about in front of me, and I'm just going to grab one, and we're just going to go with it. But before I do that, a couple things I want to start the show off with. Now, after I post a show, and maybe I should start doing this before I post a show, that might be a better idea, but after I post a show, I always go back and I listen to it to check out the sound quality. And what I've noticed ever since I've moved all my equipment from the Halloween party and brought it back to my studio, I've got this incessant buzzing noise that I cannot get rid of. So I just want to apologize about that. I'm trying to adjust some settings, trying to adjust some anything to get rid of this buzzing noise in the background. Some of you have said you don't hear it that listen to the show. Others have said, yeah, I've noticed it. Doesn't take away from anything, but to me, I know it's there and it bothers the living daylights out of me. So bear with me. I'm working on some audio settings to try and get rid of it. I'm hoping that this show sounds better. And let me know if it's a distraction, if you don't even hear it. I mean, I listen to the show and after a while, it kind of just blends into the background, so I don't hear it after a while. But being that I'm trying to produce a very professional sounding show, it bothers the living daylights out of me. So with that being said, I think it's time to upgrade the equipment again. So maybe come Christmas time, Santa will bring me an updated piece of equipment. We'll see. So next on the list before we start the show, I want to wish Seneca a very, very happy birthday. Seneca is a friend of mine. I've known Seneca for a while now. And she is one of the great listeners of this show. Well, it's her birthday today, so I wish her a happy birthday, and let's all wish Seneca a happy birthday. Seneca, you're great. I love your husband. You guys are awesome, and thank you for everything you do for the show. So, happy birthday, Seneca. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, so last week's show, and this is going to kind of be my comment of the week, but last week's show was very well received. That there's no doubt about that. Most people liked what they heard. Most people said, yeah, I've heard a lot of that. But there are some points that you made, just like you said, that I never thought about, and they made good points. Well, of course, I'm going to have some people that didn't like the show because of my point of view. And this one is coming from Ohio. This is Garrett from Ohio. He emailed me and he said, Tom, I give you props for doing a show about the impeachment because your listeners are correct. This is a history-making moment. However, your version of history and my version of history are two completely different things. Your version appears to be the Democrats are insane, they have nothing to go on, and history will show that this has been a witch hunt. I, on the other hand, believe the direct opposite. I believe Donald Trump is one of the most corrupt presidents this country has ever seen. I believe the Democrats have proven it. The way you went about your show proved what side of the fence you reside on. Now, Garrett, I want to stop you there. First off, if you have listened to this show for any length of time, you will know, and I prefaced my comments about the impeachment process by saying, it's going to be no surprise where I lie on this circus. But there are some, and it's not just Garrett, that were surprised at how one-sided I was on this. Well, first off, and this goes to Garrett and everybody else that sent me an email saying how one-sided I was, I have, and this goes for most things that I talk about on this show, I looked at both sides. Now, at the time of that recording, there were, I believe, two or three days worth of impeachment proceedings that had been done. There was nothing in those impeachment proceedings that made me think Donald Trump had a quid pro quo. Now, day four, and I believe it was Sondland, in his morning testimony, he flat out said, yes, there was a quid pro quo. Now, when I heard that, I'm like, wow, holy cow. This is the first time I've heard somebody say, yes, there was. And of course, the mainstream media just blew that up. They blew it up. It was a major headline all morning until you got in later into the questioning. And I believe it was Jim Jordan straight out asked Ambassador Sondland, was there a quid pro quo? What did the President of the United States actually say to you? First off, what I want to do is I want to play for you his first comment on whether or not there was a quid pro quo. And you could just hear the mainstream media say, gotcha, because they ran with it. They absolutely ran with it. This was a morning headline. It was breaking news. Ambassador Sondland says quid pro quo happened. And then, well, first off, listen to what Ambassador Sondland said in the morning, and then we'll go from there. Listen to this.
I followed the directions of the president. We worked with Mr. Giuliani because the president directed us to do so. Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret. I know that members of this committee frequently frame these complicated issues in the form of a simple question. Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes.
So with that, the mainstream media said everything the Democrats have been saying. Adam Schiff was right. They are all vindicated. There was a quid pro quo. The mainstream media went crazy with this. Until later on in his testimony, he was asked exactly what was the conversation that Donald Trump had with you. What did he say to you? And oh, how the story changed.
I finally called the president. I believe it was on the 9th of September. I can't find the records and they won't provide them to me. But I believe I just asked him an open-ended question, Mr. Chairman. What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories and this and that. What do you want? And it was a very short, abrupt conversation. He was not in a good mood. And he just said, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Something to that effect. So I typed out a text to Ambassador Taylor, and my reason for telling him this was not to defend what the president was saying, not to opine on whether the president was being truthful or untruthful, but simply to relay, I've gone as far as I can go. This is the final word that I heard from the President of the United States. If you're still concerned, you, Ambassador Taylor, are still concerned, please get a hold of the secretary. Maybe he can help.
So his earlier testimony, yes, definitively, there was a quid pro quo. Then later on, no, there wasn't a quid pro quo because Donald Trump said, just make him do the right thing. So where do you go from this? Well, Representative Mike Turner summed this whole situation up. And this is exactly why I have an issue with this whole impeachment, is because it's a complete farce. You don't know who to believe. All you can do is look at this and say, these people are presuming that this is what was going on. Well, you have The View. I completely, truly hate that show. Joy Behar, I'm not going to tell you how I feel about her because I'm going to, that would be a show in itself. But they ran, the day after Ambassador Sondland's testimony, they ran, of course, just that part. And that's all they talked about, where he said, yes, there was a quid pro quo. They did not run what Donald Trump said, nor did they run the grilling that he received from Mike Turner. It was like, to them, that never happened. And why? Because it didn't fit their narrative. Now, I understand. Listen, I'm smart enough and I'm logical enough to realize it goes both ways. However, the following or the upcoming back and forth between Mike Turner and Ambassador Sondland is everything you need to know about this whole impeachment process. Adam Schiff, before the day was done, after Ambassador Sondland went out and said, yes, there was a quid pro quo, Adam Schiff went out and said, I have enough to impeach the president right there. That tells you everything we need to know. I'm vindicated. But wait, he didn't count on Ambassador Sondland completely changing his story. The following is going to be the back and forth between Representative Mike Turner and Ambassador Sondland. And it sums this whole thing up. We cannot believe anything. This is a complete witch hunt based on presumptions. We let Hillary Clinton off the hook because it wasn't her intent. It wasn't her intent to have a secret server. It wasn't her intent to allow classified information into our enemy's hands. But we're going to impeach a lawfully elected president on presumptions, and I don't like him. This is why I cannot stand the Democratic Party of today. It's because they don't have a rule of law. Their rule of law is, it's what we want. And if you don't agree with it, then you're wrong. Now, after all this testimony has been done, now is the big question. And trust me, I'm going to get to this back and forth from Mike Turner and Sondland here in a second. But the big question is to all the Democrats out there who originally voted for the impeachment proceedings to begin. You've heard the testimonies. You've heard that nobody heard President Trump say this is a quid pro quo or do anything to definitively prove there was a quid pro quo. And listen, all of a sudden, the Democratic narrative has changed. It's not, well, it was a quid pro quo. It's now, was it ethical? Because they know there was no quid pro quo. They know they can't prove that. So now they're changing the basis of this whole impeachment process to change so it'll fit their narrative. It's not working with the American people. 65% of the American people think this is a joke. But now, to the Democrats that voted for this proceeding, do you have the gumption, do you have the resolve to objectively look at this and say, there's not enough, because there is not enough. You can spin it any way you want. But whenever the Democrats would think they would have the bombshell bit of information that they needed to impeach this, to tie Donald Trump to quid pro quo, it would come back in their face to find out, oh, that's not really what it was. It was just me thinking that's my opinion. So are these Democrats going to have enough resolve to vote no on impeachment? I'll give you the answer. No, he will get impeached. There's no reason he should, but the House is going to impeach him. The Senate will not impeach him. It's not going to happen. And this is something I have to say to my Democrat, left-leaning, anti-Trump listeners. You're backing the wrong horse. You have listened to the mainstream media. You have listened to the lies. You still have a chance to say, I'm wrong. I was wrong. You will be a better person. I will think better of you for saying, I was wrong. I was misled. Because trust me, I know how easily it is to be misled. You're backing the wrong horse. The Democrats are not who you think they are. The media, if you get your source of news from the mainstream media, you are being completely misled. It's okay to admit that you were misled. It's not your fault. But you have to wake up to the fact that there's nothing there. In this following exchange, from Mike Turner to Ambassador Sondland, tells you everything you need to know. Listen to this.
Mr. Turner, Ambassador Sondland, I want to walk through some of the portions of your testimony, because sometimes you seem to make direct connections and sometimes they seem to be dead ends. I kind of want to clear up what are the dead ends and what are the direct connections. Yesterday, Ambassador Volker, who I consider to be very talented and a man of integrity, and I believe you think he's a man of integrity, correct?
I do.
He testified that the President of the United States did not tie either a meeting with the President, a phone call, or any aid to investigations of Burisma 2016 or the Bidens, that the President did not do that. And you've testified that the President did not tell you that he tied them either, correct?
I did testify to that, although when Ambassador Volker and I were working on the statement and negotiating with the Ukrainians, it was clear to Ambassador Volker that a meeting would not happen without the Burisma in 2016. That was very clear to Ambassador Volker.
And how do you know that? What did he say to you? Because he says that was not clear to him. In fact, he says that's not the case. He was working on that. He knows that that's what the President wanted, but he didn't have it as this was a requirement.
Oh, I strongly disagree with that portion of his testimony. It was absolutely a requirement, or we would have just had the meeting and been done with it.
What about the aid? He says that they weren't tied, that the aid was not tied.
And I didn't say they were conclusively tied either. I said I was presuming it.
Okay. And so the President never told you they were tied. So your testimony, his testimony is consistent, and the President did not tie aid to investigations.
That's correct.
Okay. He also testified that he spoke to Giuliani and that Giuliani did not relate that he was tying on behalf of the President or on the President's behalf aid. And then, in fact, Giuliani never said to him that aid was tied to investigations. Now, the question I have for you is, did you ever have a conversation with Giuliani that did not involve Volker? Because your testimony is a lot of we's and us's. So do you and Giuliani have a separate conference, separate phone call where Giuliani told you that the aid was tied? Because Volker says, and if he was on all your phone calls, Volker says that never happened.
No, I did have a few conversations. I don't recall how many because I don't have the records with Mr. Giuliani directly when Mr. Volker wasn't available.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I don't believe I testified that Mr. Giuliani told me that aid was tied.
I think, see, this is part of the problem, Ambassador Sondland, and I just want to walk you through this, is you've said to us everyone was in the loop, and everyone knew. Now, hold a second. I've listened to you today, as a lot of people, and not only are your answers somewhat circular, frequently you've contradicted yourself in your own answer. Now, the text messages and emails that you put up there, Kurt Volker walked us through, and he has a completely different understanding of what you were saying than what you're saying you were saying. So I'm a little confused as to how everyone's in the loop, because if Giuliani didn't give you any express statement, then it can't be that you believe this from Giuliani. Now, let me tell you right now, because is Donald Trump your friend?
No, we're not friends.
Okay. Do you like the president?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, after you testified, Chairman Schiff ran out and gave a press conference and said he gets to impeach the president of the United States because of your testimony. And if you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigations to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. I also said that President Trump.
So no one told you. Not just the president. Giuliani didn't tell you. Mulvaney didn't tell you. Nobody. Pompeo didn't tell you. Nobody else on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying aid to these investigations. Is that correct?
I think I already testified.
No, answer the question. Is it correct? No one on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying this aid to the investigations. Because if your answer is yes, then the chairman's wrong and the headline on CNN is wrong. No one on this planet told you that President Trump was tying aid to investigations. Yes or no?
Yes.
Boom.
So you really have no testimony today that ties President Trump to a scheme to withhold aid from Ukraine in exchange for these investigations?
Other than my own presumption.
Which is nothing. I mean, that's what I don't understand. So you know what hearsay evidence is, Ambassador? Hearsay is when I testify what someone else told me. Do you know what made-up testimony is? Made-up testimony is when I just presume it. I mean, you're just assuming all of these things, and then you're giving them the evidence that they're running out and doing press conferences, and CNN's headline is saying that you're saying the President of the United States should be impeached because he tied aid to investigations, and you don't know that, correct?
I never said the President of the United States should be impeached.
Nope, but you did. You have left people with the confusing impression that you were giving testimony that you did not. You do not have any evidence that the President of the United States was tied to withholding aid from Ukraine in exchange for investigations. I yield back.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what you don't hear on the mainstream media. It's all presumption. Democratic friends of mine, this is all presumption. It's okay to admit that you were misled. It's okay to admit you were wrong. I've done it many times. It makes you a better person. But you're wrong on this one. This man did nothing wrong. Is he crass? Is he kind of arrogant, meaning Donald Trump? Yes. Is that an impeachable offense? Well, to some people it is, yes. They don't like him, so that's enough to impeach him. But this is what I'm getting at. This is everything, that little clip, that 5-minute, 36-second clip, was everything you needed to know about the impeachment process. Somebody says something that makes it look like Donald Trump did a quid pro quo. In the media, and Adam Schiff, and the Democrats... they run with it. But when pressed, they say, no, that's not the case. But you don't hear that. And that, my friends, is why you don't listen to the mainstream media. You are a human being. You have the ability to think for yourself. Don't let anyone or anybody else think for you. Get your own information. Do the research. Please. Now, the last thing I want to say about this impeachment process is this. If one of the big talking points of your whole day from the mainstream media is Lieutenant Colonel Vindman correcting Representative Nunez, you got a problem on your hands. Listen to this. First off, Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, for your service to this country, but secondly, you're an arrogant prick. Listen to this.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
So, I get it. You're a lieutenant colonel. But it doesn't make you better than everybody else. It infuriates me when people do that. If I call you Mr. Smith and you come back at me, it's Dr. Smith. I didn't go to school for that long to be called Mr. What? Screw you, Mr. Smith. That would be like me. I'm a professional salesperson. I have been through years and years and years equivalent of sales training. Do I demand to be called sales professional Tom? That would be like somebody coming up to me, Mr. Velasquez, and me stopping them going, hey, that's sales professional Velasquez. I didn't take all these classes to be addressed as Mr. Velasquez. That is sales professional Velasquez. How stupid does that sound? To me, that sounds just as stupid if somebody says, that's Dr. Smith or Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. I appreciate the work you put in. Really, I do. But Mr. or Mrs. is fine. I, personally, when somebody has said that to me, because I work in the public, so obviously it happens. Yes, Mr. Jones. Dr. Jones? Yeah. So what I do in that situation is I go, oh, okay, yeah, Mr. Jones, this is what you have going on. That's Dr. Jones, please. Okay, yeah, Mr. Jones, I have gone through that conversation with a client of mine because I'm not going to be demeaned. I'm not going to be made to feel like a lesser human being because you have a medical certificate. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for your medical certification. That would be like a police officer off duty going to a restaurant and being addressed as Mr. Washington. I'm sorry, that's Officer Washington. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you wearing your uniform. Well, I'm a police officer. How am I going to know? If you're not wearing your medical garbs, how am I going to know you're a doctor? Because I'm telling you. Great. So, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, thank you for your service, but quit being an arrogant prick. That's the last thing I'm going to say about this impeachment process. And the reason for that is I got drawn into the hole. I got drawn in and it pisses me off. Why? Because this is a diversion. This is, in my opinion, this is a diversion of the Jeffrey Epstein. That's just one of them, but the biggest diversion is this Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. This meme and this, which I love, you know, a lot of people are getting sick of Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, but you know what? It's waking people up. It's making people who would never, ever would have thought of something like this think, well, what's going on here? The people that do this, and I've started doing it. I'll be talking to my technicians and they'll say, okay, so we're going to take care of these spark plugs, we're going to take care of this wheel bearing, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I do it. I do it for jokingly, but it's putting it in their mind, and that's what all these memes on Facebook are doing. When they give all these incredible facts about trees or animals, and at the end it says Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. All that is doing is waking people up. For the people, and trust me, people don't have a clue as to what's going on. They're just going to take the mainstream media narrative and say, oh yeah, he committed suicide, without even thinking about it. But when you have this whole movement of memes coming out and saying Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, you have a beer company in California putting on the bottom of their cans, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. There was a guy talking about dogs and handling dogs, and I believe it was service dogs. He was doing a live interview on Fox News. Listen to how this interview with him ended.
Fully trained and finished dog from a professional, or just don't get one at all. And Epstein didn't kill himself.
That's how he ended the interview. And people think that this is a joke, but you know what? It's waking people up. People are hearing that and going, what? What is he talking about? And then they're looking up. Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. Well, wait a minute. There's people that say he didn't commit suicide. Now they're looking into it. They're opening their minds. And that is what this show is all about, is opening your mind. But there's memes out there that are now doing it for you. They're forcing you to open up your mind. Because you can't sit idly by and say, he committed suicide. It's obvious. Because the proof, there's a big proof of a conspiracy here. And now the two guards that were supposed to be on duty watching him have been arrested. And lo and behold, they're willing to talk and they're willing to spill the beans. So you heard it here on the Paranormal Patriot first. Do not be surprised if these two guards commit suicide sometime soon, because that's how it works. But for those of you, and I got a lot of people telling me, Tom, you're an idiot. Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. There's no doubt about it. Listen to this. This is from a pathologist, Dr. Michael, I think his name is Baird or something like that. I'm not sure. But he was a witness at the autopsy per the Epstein family request because they think something's going on. Now, I want to preface this by saying I am not trying to make Jeffrey Epstein a martyr. I had one person say, oh, gee, way to go, Tom. Way to make Jeffrey Epstein a martyr. Jeffrey Epstein was a piece of dog you know what. Him being murdered isn't justifiable. He should have been tortured for what he did. But that doesn't take away from the fact that somebody killed this man. And the reason they killed him was to keep him quiet. Now, if you don't think that he was killed, listen to Dr. Michael here, because he says differently.
Dr. Bodden, thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
When did you realize that the Epstein family needed help?
Well, I was asked by the brother, the next of kin, to be at the autopsy. Mm-hmm. And at the autopsy on day one, there were findings that were unusual for suicidal hanging and more consistent with ligature homicidal strangulation.
So you're not going to hear that on the mainstream media. You're going to hear that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. I've had people tell me, oh, Tom, you're just so worried about the Clinton body count. What about the Trump body count? I don't care. I don't care about the Clinton body count. I don't care about the Trump body count. All I care about is somebody killed this man to shut him up because he was going to name names. That should scare the living daylights out of you. But what should scare you more is that the media is complicit in the cover-up of somebody killing this man. So that tells you that you do not get the full story anytime. They only tell you what you want to hear. So again, it's okay to say I was misled. It's okay to admit that you were wrong. For all of you who gave me grief because I think Jeffrey Epstein was killed, for all of you who think that I was wrong because I believe that this impeachment proceeding was a circus, it's okay. But please just think for yourself. It's a great uplifting experience. It's almost like a huge accomplishment when you come to your own opinion. And what I mean by your own opinion, it's not an opinion formed by another person. As I said earlier, you are a human being who is able to think for yourself. It's now time to do so. And if you think for yourself and you're like, yep, Jeffrey Epstein killed himself and Donald Trump's a traitor, that's fine. But before you get to that conclusion, get both sides of the story. I gave you both sides of the story today. How do you dispute that? How do you honestly dispute the fact that CNN, Adam Schiff, came up and said, Donald Trump, there's his impeachment right there. And then it was contradicted later on in the day, and you didn't hear anything about it. You have to search for it. You have to do the research. I did it. Now it's up to you. For all of you out there just giving me hate mail, that's fine. Keep it coming. Because I know you are someone who just doesn't want to do the work. You're lazy about it. Let's call a spade. You're lazy. You don't want to do the work. You don't want to listen to Ambassador Sondland say that there was a quid pro quo. And then go back and listen to him saying, well, there really wasn't a quid pro quo. He never said there was a quid pro quo. That was just my opinion. You can have your own opinion. I don't care. But it's not an impeachable offense. So for the Democrats in the House of Representatives, it's up to you now. Let's see where you lie on this. Are you going to straddle party lines? Are you going to be all in on party lines? Impeachment 101%. In my state, Elizabeth Slotkin, Gary Peters, how do you lie? Your constituents want to know because there's enough evidence here to say there's not enough evidence. We know where your values lie if you vote for impeachment because you will not vote your constituents. I know your constituents, and they don't believe that there's enough for impeachment. So you're putting your political career in jeopardy, and that goes for every other Republican and Democrat in the country. You have to do what's right. You have to do what your constituents think. If you live in Los Angeles and your constituents say, impeach that son of a bitch, impeach him. But if you live somewhere where your constituents say there's not enough evidence, you cannot vote for impeachment, and you vote for impeachment, you better damn well be voted out of office right then. Because you are not doing your job. You're not doing your oath of office. You are not listening to what your constituents want. You are listening to what the party wants. And that's not how this government was set up. So Garrett from Ohio, you are now the holder of the longest listener response on record. We are coming up on 37 minutes, 30 seconds. I anticipated this to be a 5-10 minute thing, and it just kept going and going and going. Garrett, we may not agree politically, but we agree that we need to talk about this. So thank you for sending me the email. If you want to get a hold of me, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you think about what I talked about last week. Let me know what you want to hear about. We're going to take a quick break, and I can honestly tell you, I don't know what we're talking about next segment. While the promo is going, I'm going to grab a subject, and we're going to go with it. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Balassis, and I will be right back. So the month of November is almost over, and as I mentioned in the first week of the month, this is Neuroendocrine Cancer Awareness Month. Neuroendocrine cancer is a very rare, although much more frequent than we thought, cancer that's very hard to diagnose. It can be diagnosed as IBS, Crohn's, or some type of other gastrointestinal issue. By the time it's found that it is cancer, most of the time it's too late. Neuroendocrine cancer has touched my family directly. You see, my wife has been diagnosed with stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. There's no cure. She receives monthly injections to try and keep the cancer at bay, but it's never going to go away and it will eventually kill her. It will take my wife away, and it will take the mother of my children away. We need to bring this cancer to the forefront. All cancers are horrendous. All cancers are deadly. But this is a cancer that not a lot of people know about. We went through four doctors before we found one that even knew what it was. Our first prognosis was your wife will be only alive for a couple of months because they didn't know what neuroendocrine cancer was. We still don't know how it starts. All we know is that by the time you find it, it is so embedded in your body, the chances are you're never going to get rid of it. So bring neuroendocrine cancer to the forefront. Talk about it, share posts about neuroendocrine cancer, and take the silent cancer and make it scream for attention. November is Neuroendocrine Cancer Awareness Month. But really, does it only deserve a month? Just like any other cancer, any other disease, we shouldn't just devote a month to it. Donate, help support, and help fund any type of cancer, any type of disease that you see fit. Let's make this world a better place. Let's give these families hope that there are people out there that are rooting for them. Because I'm one of those families. We need support. We need the funding. I need my wife. My kids need their mother. Whatever disease, whatever cancer you feel in your soul that touches you, support it. Fund it. Help fund it. Families shouldn't lose loved ones at such an early age, nor should they go through the suffering of the treatments of cancer. It's up to us. It's up to you.
A few old records in my ripped up jeans to match my heart in this tragedy.
So if you're a longtime listener of the Paranormal Patriot and even farther back, Mysteries of Michigan, you know that I have some sort of a fixation with Fukushima. For those of you who are like, Fuka whom? Fukushima is the nuclear reactor in Tokyo, in Japan, that was completely crippled and disabled by the 2011, was it? 2013? A couple years ago. Earthquake and subsequent tsunami. And to this day, they are pumping out hundreds and thousands of gallons of radiated water in the Pacific Ocean. So the reason I'm fixated with this is because this is a natural disaster that there is no good outcome for it. We can't fix this because we can take the radiated water and we can put them into a holding tank. Eventually, those holding tanks are going to become full. Then what do we do? Well, the day is nigh. Because in the spring of 2022, they say, and they meaning the Japanese government, that these tanks are going to be full. There's no more water they can put in those. What do we do with it? Well, the Japanese government says, this contaminated water, well, it's safe to dump in the ocean. Japanese industry ministry said Monday that it would be safe to release water contaminated by the Fukushima nuclear disaster in the ocean, stressing that the health risk to human would be, quote unquote, significantly small. Now, this is an article from November 18th, 2019. So this is a very recent article. So this is a very up-to-date problem. Now, according to Japan's industry ministry, they state that by discharging the water into the Pacific Ocean over the course of a year would lead to between just 1/1600th and 1/40,000th of the radiation that humans are naturally exposed to. Now, water that is used to cool the meltdown cores and groundwater near the crippled plant contains some radioactive materials and is currently being collected and stored in tanks on the plant grounds. But space is fast running out, and the government is exploring ways to deal with the water, already amounting to more than 1 million tons and increasing every day. Now, according to the ministry, annual radiation levels near the release point is estimated at between 0.052 and 0.062 microserviance at sea and 1.3 microserviance in the atmosphere. This is compared with the 2,100 microserviance that humans come into contact with in daily life. One member of the subcommittee called on the ministry to provide detailed data showing the impacts of different conditions such as ocean current and weather. Another member requested more information on the amount of radiation that people would be internally exposed to depending on how much fish and seaweed they consume. Now, the water is being treated using an advanced liquid processing system, or what they call ALPS. This system does not remove the relatively non-toxic tritium and has been found to leave small amounts of other radioactive materials. The tanks storing the water are expected to become full by spring of 2020, according to the Tokyo Electric Power Company Holdings, Inc., or TEPCO, which is the operator of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant that was disabled by a magnitude 9.0 earthquake and ensuing tsunami on March 11, 2011. So there you go. That's when it happened, 2011. Now, while government officials say that no decision has been made on what to do with the water, local fishermen are opposed to discharging it in the water due to worries that it would cause irreversible damage and hurt their livelihood. South Korea has also expressed concerns over the environmental impact. Now, in September, Japanese and South Korean officials, they traded barbs over the issue at a meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna. That same month, then Environmental Minister Yoshiaki Harada aroused controversy by saying that there was no other choice but to release the water in the ocean. So, the ministry at this point is telling you, hey, the amount of radiation that's going into the water is minimal. It's less than what you normally get on a daily basis. But at this meeting in Vienna, the guy says, we have no other choice, which means they know it's a catastrophe waiting to happen, but they have no other choice, so they're going to do it anyway. Listen, I call BS on this. There is no way in God's green earth that these holding tanks, regardless of if they have the ALPS system or not, where's the radiation going that they're removing from the water? They can't store it in a separate location, right? This ALPS system is supposed to remove all the radioactive material from the water. Where's the radioactive material going? Nobody's answering that question. They are dumping radioactive material in the water. That would be on top of the already radioactive material that is leaking out of the crippled reactors into the ocean every day, every second of every year. You can't deny the reports of radioactive water that is reaching the west coast of the United States, the west coast of South America. You can't deny this. I'm becoming more and more bold as I get with this show. But you're an idiot if you think that them releasing this water into the ocean is not going to have catastrophic environmental concerns. Again, I sound like a raging liberal with my environmental spiel, but you can't do it. You got to find a way. You know, move the water somewhere. You already have millions and millions of gallons going into the ocean every year. You're going to have to divert that water supply to another set of holding tanks. It's just going to have to happen. And then we're going to have to eventually find a way to get rid of it. I don't know. This is why I say this is a natural disaster that there is no good answer for. You're not going to come out ahead on it. It's horrible. It's destroying the ecosystem in and around Japan and the Asian markets. And it's going all the way across the Pacific Ocean. For those of you on the west side of America, you're being inundated with radiation and not being told. How does that make you feel? Because it would piss me off. Let me know what you think. Is this Fukushima Daiichi natural disaster? And you can't even call it a natural disaster, man-made disaster, I guess. Is this something that we can get over? Is there a solution for it? let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. I'm going to take another quick break, very quick break, and I will be right back with our last segment of the show. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
She moves in silence and you can't comprehend the level of this game that she always wins. There ain't no room for anyone to pretend.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30. On Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
I'm the Venus for your Mars. I'm the healing for your scars. I'm the nighttime for your stars. You don't have to look so far. Watering the family tree, ever after happily. If the earth falls to the sea, in your arms is where I'll be.
We already are, you and me, psychically.
All right, last week I ended the show on energy life force, and I wasn't able to get through everything to increase your energy life force, and I had a lot of people, more people than I thought I would, say make sure you finish that. So that's what we're going to do to end the show this week. Now, last week, we ended on be in your body, and I didn't really get into it like I wanted to, but as I mentioned last week, most of us are disconnected from our physical being. When we experience pain, rather than numbing or ignoring it, what I've started doing is I've started asking my organs, my aches and pains, what are you trying to communicate with me? What am I doing wrong? And it's actually helped out a lot. I suffer from fibromyalgia, so there are days that I have a flare-up that my whole body's in pain, and I ask myself, what are you trying to communicate with me? Because when your body's in pain, it's telling you something's wrong. I am slowly learning now to ask my body, what are you telling me? You know, I can't go up a ladder anymore without my knee really truly burning. I mean, it literally burns inside. And I've been asking my body, what are you telling me? And it's telling me, don't go up ladders, dummy. There's something going on inside your knee. So I'm going to have to go get that checked out because there's something internally in my knee going wrong. But I suffer from fibromyalgia. And when I have a flare-up, I have started asking my body, what is wrong? And it's telling me, dummy, you can't eat that crap anymore. You have a flare-up whenever you eat Little Caesar's pizza. But yet I still continue to eat it, and I suffer from a flare-up. So we need to be connected with our body, and that's communicating with our body. So when we have issues, just ask your body, what are you trying to tell me? And your body will respond. It's amazing how I listened to my body. In next week is going to be a pretty interesting show. I'm going to warn you right now, it's going to be pretty in-depth, spiritual, and other dimensional. I've got great ideas for next show that you have to listen to it because it's going to open your mind wider than you've ever had it open. You may feel like this guy's talking way out of his behind. He has no idea what he's talking about. But when you listen to what I'm talking about, it makes sense. But regardless, you need to release toxic relationships. Now, this is probably the hardest thing to do because some of your toxic relationships may be with close best friends or with family members. I had to release toxic relationships. I have toxic relationships where all these people do or talk trash about other people, and they want to bring me into that situation and into that conversation and begin to talk trash about them. But listen, I've said it before, if you're around negative people, if you're around people that talk badly about other people constantly, that doesn't increase your life force. That brings you down. You have to learn what is a toxic relationship, and you need to get rid of it. You've also heard of energy vampires. as an empath, and I'm empathic, I can feel a room. I can walk into a room, and I don't do well in large places with a lot of people.